Good evening. I'd like to welcome you all to the 2023 Sitka Baptist Church Christmas Eve service. Thank you for being here. We hope you have a good time tonight and share in our blessings. I'd like to introduce Pastor Jim Elliott.
Well, good evening. Thanks for spending part of your Christmas Eve with us tonight. A program, 45 minutes from now, is just a time where people in the church can say some things. And we're glad you're all here tonight. If you could have been anywhere else, you chose to be with us. That's awesome. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you so much for this time, Lord. God, we'd be remiss if we didn't recognize the fact that we're here because we celebrate the birth of Christ. A birth that gave us all a point and a purpose in our existence. Without that, then we just float along in this world, or just having what we have in front of us. But because of your birth, we have subsequent life, and we have the resurrection, we have eternal life. Those who have gone before us who knew you will be again. Those who have known you, Lord, will be reconciled with. None of that would have been possible without this night of coming, being born through a virgin, living a sinless life. Dying on the cross and rising from the dead. God, we thank you for that. Tonight, help us to give us some dignity. Help us to truly believe this, because this is the core of our existence, Lord. Thank you for this time now, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
All of our worship this Advent season has led up to this special time of celebrating the birth of Jesus. But his birth was only the beginning of the life of Jesus. Physically, spiritually, he grew to be a man who liked to talk to children, who taught in parables those who wanted to hear, who healed the sick, fed the hungry, comforted the sad, befriended the friendless, and showed that his Father was a loving God. Because of his life, he shows us that every time we help others, we are helping him. Each time we bring love and goodwill to those around us, we are helping God's promise to continue. The fifth candle is tall and new, symbolizing the light of the world who gave his all for all who will accept. Share Christ this Christmas. He was born to give his life for you.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know?
This is from Max Licato's In the Manger, so if you have this devotional, it's a very good one, but I just picked one. So it says, "Bloodstained royalty. You mean to tell me God became a baby and was born in a sheep stable? The one posing the question sounded as though he honestly didn't know if the story he was hearing was a legend or gospel truth. That he would be raised in a blue-collar home, never write any books or hold any offices, be betrayed by his own people, and executed like a common thief, buried in a borrowed grave, buried in a borrowed grave, and be called the Son of God." He paused a second. Doesn't that all sound rather absurd? The incarnation, absurd. Jesus on a cross, absurd. At the time, the man's questions had taken my Sunday school Jesus down from the flannel board. Then it began to dawn on me what God did makes sense. It makes sense that Jesus would be our sacrifice because a sacrifice was needed to justify man's presence before God. It makes sense that God would use the old law to tutor Israel on their need for grace. It makes sense that Jesus would be our high priest. What God did makes sense. However, why he did it is absolutely absurd. When one leaves the method and examines the motive, the carefully stacked blocks of logic tumble. What type of love isn't logical? It can't be neatly outlined in a sermon or explained in a term paper. Think about it. For thousands of years, using his wit and charm, man has tried to be friends with God. And for thousands of years, he has let God down. He'd done the very thing he promised he would never do. It was a fiasco. Even the holiest of the heroes sometimes forgot whose side they were on. Some of the scenarios in the Bible look more like adventures of Sinbad the Sailor than stories for vacation Bible school. Do you remember those characters? Aaron, the holy priest of God, leading the Israelites in fireside aerobatics in front of a golden calf. David, the man after God's own heart, getting his glasses steamed as a result of a bath on a roof. Adam, adorned in fig leaves and stained in forbidden fruit. Moses, throwing both a staff and a temper tantrum. King Saul, looking into a crystal ball for the will of God. Noah, drunk and naked in his own tent. These are the chosen ones to carry out God's mission, so it's easy to see the absurdity. So why didn't he give up? Why didn't he let the globe spin off of its axis? Even after generations of people had spit in his face, he still loved them. After a nation of chosen ones had stripped him naked and ripped him his incarnated flesh, he still died for them. And even today, after billions have chosen to prostitute themselves before the pimps of power, fame, and wealth, he still waits for them. It is unexplainable, and yet it is that very irrationality that gives the gospel its greatest defense. For only God can love like that. The question forced me to see Jesus as I had never seen him. At first, I didn't recognize him, but it was he, the lion, the Judean lion. He walked out from among the dense trees of theology and ritual and lay down in a brief clearing. In his paw was a wound, and in his mane were stains of blood. But there was royalty about him that silenced even the breeze in the trees. Blood-stained royalty, a God with tears, a creator with a heart. God became earth's mockery to save his children. How absurd to think that such nobility would go to such poverty to share such a treasure with thankless souls. But he did. In fact, the only thing more absurd than the gift is our stubborn unwillingness to receive it.
Merry Christmas, everyone. We came up here last night to do a kind of semi-dress rehearsal and stuff, and I really couldn't find a Christmas song out of the thousands of songs I've got. And Sam's like, well, why don't you just do this song? And the more I thought about it, the more I liked the idea about this song. As Christians, we get in the way of ourselves sometimes, and we don't follow through what we know we should do, or we don't feel like we're strong enough to stand up for what we believe. And that's all God's asking us to do, is stand up, be his body, be his voice. Got to hear Sam sing in front of the church tonight, which is really cool. So I'm going to sing this song for you. It has a lot of meaning to me. It really resonates with me. I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay.
This is called The Spirit of Christmas. By the magical light of a small Christmas candle, a little old man tries to carefully handle the small porcelain manger which serves as a bed for the wee baby Jesus to lay down his head. In wonder, he brings the manger up to his view, smiles at the baby, and whispers, "I love you. I love you for bringing this season of joy. I love you for growing to a man from a boy, for being our light and leading the way, for being the spirit which makes Christmas Day. You've been my mentor, my model, my hero, and guide. Please continue to help me and stay by my side. I've tried to follow your teachings and give as you gave, reminding all to be kind and that it's wise to behave. Help me to serve others and bring them your light, especially the children. Please bless them tonight. Some have so very little, scarce food for their table. You know how it feels. You were born in a stable. Bless all their mothers and fathers with the knowledge that's sure. The best gift that they can give is their love, strong and pure. That's the spirit of Christmas when all said and done. God's gift of love that came as his son. Then back to his mother, the child is returned. The nativity glows as the candle is burned. In a wink, the little old man slips quietly away. Some say he goes up the chimney and climbs in a sleigh. Whatever the case, his mission is clear. Give unto others, bringing love and good cheer. He flies into the night and bids us adieu, doing for others what Jesus would do.
We will celebrate the birth of Jesus, but let's remember the reason he was born is to die for us.
Shepherds gaze in wonder while angel voices sing. Tonight the night has come and brought the world a long-awaited king. The earth was filled with gladness, and yet the heavens weep. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus. Baby Jesus, is that a tear in your eye?
Jesus, you know you were born to die. It must have broken God's heart. For the future he could see, yet he formed the hands and feet, knowing one day they'd be nailed to a tree. So all the world would know him, a gift sent from above. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Jesus, baby Jesus, with a tear of love in your eyes. Jesus, sweet baby Jesus, you know you were born to die. Oh, Jesus, baby Jesus, with a gift of eternal life. My Jesus, Jesus, for me you were born to die.
Face of God. to move this a little bit. I can remember when our children were little. We would have the Christmas story. Most Christmases, sometimes it was forgotten in all the excitement. But most of the time we'd read it, sometimes on Christmas Day. It kind of brings everything back to perspective. Why we do what we do, why we're doing what we're doing, who's doing what. All the sheep and stuff we're leaving now to get ready for the next act. That's good. I don't know, the older you get, the more you realize that the point of our being is to be reconciled with a personal God who lived for us and died for us. And it continues to intercede for us as we continue to live. And that at the end of our 60 or 40 or 20 or 100 years of life, we go home for the first time to our real home to be with our Father, who's always loved us, that we've never touched or felt or smelled or saw with our own eyes. I've been pastoring this church for 32 years. I've been a Christian for 44 years. And it's still so cool to me that God would do that for us. But he had to be born first. The Old Testament rules of giving sacrifices, it worked for a minute, and it did what it had to do for the time. And then once a year, you would come to the temple, and a priest would sacrifice an animal at the Holy of Days. And then throughout the year, a younger, an under priest would do sacrifices. And the blood was shed, and the animal would die. And the priest would put his hands in the blood, and he would look up to heaven and say, "Oh God, forgive our people their sin." And God would look down from heaven because there was a blood offering, and he would forgive them of their sins because something had been paid for in blood. That's why unbelievers, when they cry out to God, he can't hear them yet. The first prayer he hears is, "God, forgive me. I'm sorry." That's the first thing he hears is, "I repent." Until then, there's no blood. But the family who would come once a year, the high priest of the Passover or the Feast of Tabernacles to Jerusalem in their weekly long sojourns, they would come there. And in turn, they would be prayed for and they would be forgiven. But then they left. And I always think of myself, like every other family, you know, after you're done with church, you get back in your car and you start being mad again and everything goes to pot again. And husbands don't like their wives and wives don't like their husbands and kids disobey and we don't do what we should do, and we do what we shouldn't do, and that is the nature of man. And so perpetual sacrifices had to be made until it was time. And the only sacrifice that could ever be made would be of something that was pure and sinless. It'd have to be God himself. And for that to occur, he had to be born in a virgin. Because he had to be born in through regular birth, we're all sinners. You don't become one. You are one by virtue of birth. You become accountable at some point, and therefore you're accountable for it. But we're all born in sin. Jesus wasn't. He was born of a virgin, prophesied in Isaiah 7. So he was born without sin. And then he lived a life where he didn't sin. Fully God, fully man. My church has seen me do this so many times. The perfect creator of the universe, who created man and woman with a touch and a breath, and the rest of the world with a thought, got hungry and was tired and could feel pain and was fatigued and sensed loss, and he wept. And then he died on a cross. And had he only died, he'd just been another sacrifice, the best sacrifice, the purest of blood shed for those who would accept him and be forgiven. But because he rose from the dead, that blood lives on. It becomes what is called efficacious. It's continual. So that when I accept Christ as my Savior, the blood has covered me. But because he rose from the dead, I'm perpetually covered. I can't do anything to gain that except believe. I can't do anything to get rid of that. I can't do anything to maintain that. It's by grace am I saved through faith, and that not of myself. It's a gift of God. And so with that, it's truthful and just absolute thankfulness. No matter how stupid we get, and sometimes we do, how petty, how silly, how vengeful, how unforgiving, how unkind, and that's the best. We're all like that. We're all sinners. If you go to Sitka Baptist, how many times we ask you how many of you are sinners? about every Sunday, because every hand goes up, because we are. How many of you are forgiven for your sin? Same thing. This night had to happen. And for some who aren't in church and maybe visiting tonight, it's not a macabre thing that we're pushing. We're not pushing blood and pushing death. But some things can only be paid for by that form of death. And that was the death of our creator of the universe, the Son of God. And then he rose from the dead so that we live perpetually and will never experience a second death. Luke chapter 2 probably tells it best of all. And I'll just read just a few verses, and then we'll go on to the next part. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went a cry, a decree from Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. And the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, and to Judea, and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth the firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes." That's a King James Version word for rags. "And laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger," which is another fancy word for feeding trough. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go into Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad this saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Amen.
Thank you all for coming this evening, and thank you to our kids. Can we get a round of applause? And Pastor Jim, would you close in prayer?
Father, thank you so much on this time, Lord, for our folks that are here tonight. God, I pray that this season will be a special season. For some, it's the best of all times, and for others, it's a real difficult time, Lord. You're fully aware. You know it gets beyond our endurance, and you're with us every trip. But we must go through it, Lord. For those that are rejoicing tonight, praise God for that. For we thank you for this time, thank you for your sacrifice. We look forward to seeing you. Until that time, we'll give us the ability and strength and the endurance to do what you want us to do with the right hand of your mind, God. Bless this time now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.